Turn your Bibles to Hebrews, please. I'm going to try to do this as concisely as possible. The essence of today's sermon is kind of escaping me a skosh, but I'm working on it. Felt like the Lord was really pushing me into chapter 4, and it was kind of out of the blue. I wasn't really focused on this week, so I'm kind of treading water up here a little bit, but let's see where it goes. Chapter 3 is an interesting chapter, and I'm just going to give you the thumbnail because I really got to work in chapter 4. But chapter 3 is this comparison. The writer of Hebrews is talking about the people of Israel, specifically Moses and those that died in the wilderness because of their inability to follow the Lord. And if you haven't read that whole thing, you probably should, because I'm really trying not to get lost in chapter 3 when I need to be in 4. It's really this outlier about how God repeatedly tried to get Israel back home, you know, get them out of Egypt and back to their land that Abraham had done and all that fun stuff. You can do the history on that yourself. But there's this push-pull constantly between the people of Israel coming out of captivity 400 years and their ability to hear and follow God. Because it didn't matter what he was doing for them, and you can start in Egypt with the 10 plagues. You can continue with the fire at night and the smoke in the daytime. The provision of the manna. I mean, every time we turn around, there's a conflict. Every time we turn around, there's a problem. He's trying to take them to this place, and they're begrudgingly following and dragging their feet. And it got so bad, at one point, he basically just said, fine, you can just die in the wilderness. He could have had them back in Israel within a few weeks, and instead he just camped them out in the wilderness and let them die. He literally did. He just let them die. They kept reproducing. They kept growing. But the old folks that came out of Israel, none of them except for who? Joshua and?
Caleb.
That means a lot of folk had to go away. Because of why?
Disobedience.
Unbelief. Didn't matter. Every time he turned around, ask him to make a step by faith, ask him to follow him, fight, 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 fight. Unbelief, and this is what's so crazy. And I know I'm going to get here, and I'm never going to get out. It's going to be like a sinkhole once I start. But it isn't that they didn't believe that God existed. This is where it gets ugly. They believed God existed. They followed him out of Egypt. It's not like they said, I ain't doing this and I'm going to stay here. They followed. They knew enough to follow. But then every step of the way, they decided, I know more than you. Every time there was a leap, every time there was a nudge, a push, every time there was an issue, they went, they started choking on it. Not going to tell me what to do. The term appears, and I'm going to preach it in 4, but the term appears in 3 like 5 times. There was a hardening of their heart. It's not that they didn't know God existed. They died because they were unwilling to follow. And this is one of those gray lines that the church doesn't want to preach. You can know God exists and still die in the wilderness. You can know God exists, but still die in the wilderness. We want to believe whatever people have taught us, once saved, always saved, I accept Christ as my Savior, I'm good to go, not according to the Old Testament. I know, I'll get to there in a minute. There is this understanding that has to come back into the church that it's not enough just to know Him. That's why we keep talking to you about Matthew 7, where it says, Lord, in your name we did healings and miracles. These are people who not only know God exists, but understand their gifting. And what's He say to them? New Testament, get away, I don't know you. We think because we have this encounter with God at some point in our life, we're good to go. And that's not the case. I'd love to tell you. I'd love to be the guy up here telling you you can be eternally secure, you can get saved one time, do whatever you want the rest of your life, whether you follow Him or not, whether you go to church or not, whether you figure out life and gifting and anointing and calling and purpose and you get where you need to go. I'd love to tell you you're still going to end up in heaven. But those people died in the wilderness, not because they didn't know Him, but because they would not follow. And that's a hard line. But that's where I'm at today. We're going to do chapter 4, verse 7, because although chapter 3 has a lot in it, I chose 4 because of the phrase that's at the bottom of the 7th verse. Tracy will throw it up there. I really want to just preach that abbreviated, separated word today. It's interesting to me. It appears like that in Hebrews many times. It's separated, which is so different. And I didn't even take time to figure out why it's separated. One of you Bible scholars can tell me that. Today, if... there's that word again. If you will hear His voice and harden not your hearts. This seems like a, you know, pretty common meat and potato verse. I mean, I pretty much, you know, this is where I kind of live most of the time. And I'm going to start with today. And then we'll move to hear my voice. And I know you think, boy, all you ever do is talk about hearing your voice. Hearing God, hearing God, hearing God. Yep, I do. Today, not tomorrow, not next week, not when you get around to it, not when you feel like it. Today. This is the problem that we have. We think we got time. We think we can figure it out. We think that we'll get there eventually. Today, not tomorrow. This is one of the things I struggle with my kids. One of the biggest things you struggle with children is you ask them to do something and they... And somehow or another, we think when we get older, it gets better. Huh? Today. We keep thinking we have time. We keep thinking we'll get to it. We keep thinking, you know, when the summer's over and whatever fun time is done and I'm not out at the lake boating and I'm not fishing and I'm not planting my garden or whatever it is that got between you and whatever you're supposed to do, today. There's nothing more important than you understand the urgency of today. And the testimonies today are perfect examples of it. Two very unique testimonies. Okay? Today. Why do I say that? How do you develop the ability to wait upon the Lord absent your own proclivities? Meaning, you know, I'll use Kathy Ann's testimony first. How do you wait upon the Lord without angst and animosity and turmoil and it's got to be and whatever? How do you learn the patience to wait upon the Lord if you don't start today? How many years she's been a Christian? How many years she's been coming to church? How many years? How do you learn how to be that person like Christ who goes like a lamb before the slaughter and doesn't say a word if you don't start today? Working on your junk, your bitterness, your unforgiveness, your hurts, your wounds, your need to be heard, your self-promotion, whatever. How do you get transformed into the image of Christ to face everything that comes at us from his perspective if you don't start today? Because some of this stuff takes time. Some of this transformational work, and I've said this and I say it and I say it, and people, you know, it's the hardest thing you're ever going to do. Because you have to fight down all of your natural urges, all of your normal responses based on temperament and personality, to be changed into the image of Christ and to move as he moves you, not as you get to it. To manifest the temperament traits, the personality, the ability to endure, and to do so with a smile on your face. Second testimony this morning. Daniel comes up front. I appreciate his testimony for more than one reason. Yes, you know, to have the faith to come forward and answer prayer, that's a given. I'm not going to talk about it. Don't need to spend time on it. We should be coming forth and asking for prayer, period. I don't care where you're at. Sickness, illness, hurts, wounds, trauma. You don't learn how to have faith that the Lord will heal you if you never step out on it to give him a chance. But we never get to train people to operate in their gifting if we don't have people to practice on. And if you don't start today, how long is it going to take? Hello? We're just going to wait until, you know, we're right at the edge of death's door and then we're going to ask for prayer. We're not going to do it while we're starting to feel icky. We're not going to do it when we get a diagnosis. We're not going to do it until we're all done with treatment. I mean, when is it we're going to say, Lord, I know this is a thing, but there are people in this house who have to figure out how to use their stuff. And without people asking, they never get a chance to practice. Your failure to operate in today delays other people's ability to operate today. Today. Not tomorrow, not next week. Today. I'm really hesitating to make this next move because it's going to sound like old hat, and it's not old hat. If you hear, this is one of the biggest things our ministry has focused on for over 20 plus years. Helping people understand when God is speaking. I am still looking back at places in my life and finding a realization that God spoke in 1980, blah, blah, blah. Because as I'm looking back at life, I realize this is a moment. This is a pivotal moment. This is an unction the Lord gave me, and I never even thought about it as a hearing God moment until he revealed it to me, even in the last several months. We don't always hear when we think we're hearing. We don't always pick it out. We just have this thing roll through our head. It's part of what our head is and what it does, and it comes and it goes, and 20 years later, the Lord goes, boom. Takes you back to this moment, and you go, oh, that was him. Oh, that was many, 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 vast, highest percentage, many of people never figure out how God is speaking to them or when God has spoken to you. Because you can go back through your life and you see it the way you lived it, and it's part of your memory, it's part of your understanding, and you just assume it's you. Or you're fortunate, or it's a coincidence. Or as Al says, a quinky dink. I'll never forget that, because Al says that all the time. There's nothing that's coincidence in your life. And many times, God has had a hand long before you ever knew him, trying to guide, trying to direct, trying to nudge. That's why it says, if. Because there's many times we don't even acknowledge it. I know I didn't, and I'm not the only one. There's been times in your life where pre-Christ and even post-Christ, where he has tried to move you in a specific direction at a specific time, whether it's for career, family, mates, college, whatever. And you won't even know it probably until long after. Judgment, end of time, death. And at some point, you're going to look back, whether you're standing in glory, hopefully, looking back at your life and going, how did I get here? In all of these little places where you have not paid attention, the if is going to be big. Because he was there. And he was trying. But we were like the Israelites in the desert going, what? Do I really? Really? Do I want to do that? Should I do that? Am I supposed to do that? There's a war going on inside of us, and God is trying to do everything but run a banner in front of you about your direction in life, and you're going through this thing in your mind. Dare I say, hardening. Because you want what you want, and you want it when you want it. I remember when my oldest was trying to figure out college. And he'd made up his mind where he was going to go. Had it in his head, sent his letters, was ready to commit. And all we told him is you need to pray and fast. And that was a job. Because that kid is almost as hard-headed as his dad. And he'd pray and fast and get an answer and knew the place he wanted to go wasn't the place he should go, and he would turn his head. And he'd pray and fast, and God would give him the answer again. I mean, it happened 3 times. He had it in his head where he wanted to be. He wanted to go to Olivet College because he decided he could wrestle and he could play baseball. He wasn't really going for an education. He wanted to play sports. After the 3rd time, we're sitting on the beach. Miss Tracy and Miss Julie are sitting there talking about the process. It's like July, maybe early August. And they're having this conversation. The kids are out playing in the water. The jet skis are running. The boats are pulling tubers. It's just a fun day at the beach on a Sunday afternoon. And they're having a conversation. And this man is 30 feet away, or however far, and he hears the conversation. He gets up, he walks over, he gives Julie or Tracy a business card. And he said, if your boy will come, we'll guarantee him he'll at least get a scholarship. Where do you think the scholarship was to? The school he was refusing to go to. You have a complete stranger show up on the beach and hand you a card and say, we will give you at least a minimal amount of a student scholarship, and we are literally 220 miles from that school. So how does that happen? That is a true story. And the truth of the matter is, whether my hard-headed son wants to agree with it or not, if he wouldn't have went there, he wouldn't have married his current wife because they met at school. And it wasn't at Olivet College. It was at the other school. God's timing, his purpose, he will reveal it to you. But at some point, we have to get over the if and through the if and around the if. Today, if you will hear my voice. I'm not going to spend a ton of time here because you guys hear this all the time. But I'm telling you, many of us are selectively hearing. And we go through a lot of life doing that. Because there's a part of us that still wants what we think we want or what we think should happen. We've already got it mapped out. I know where I want to be. I know how to get there. And we set our jaw and we get moving. And God is on the sides, knocking, trying to redirect, trying to give you an alternate, trying to get you to pay attention, and you just put your head down and keep moving. That's why we talk about it and talk about it and talk about it. Because either we're going to be like the Israelites, and we're going to at some point end up in the wilderness because we refuse to hear. We refuse to follow. And I don't mean, you know, God's going to swallow you up and whatever. I mean at some point, and you know this. You absolutely know this. In the bottom of your heart, you know this. You have a friend. You have, you know, a kid. You have a neighbor, and they keep coming over, knocking on the door, telling you a sob story. You keep giving them. You keep talking to them. But eventually, they quit coming. Because you're not telling them what they want to hear. You're not telling them what's easy. At least I hope you're that kind of neighbor, to tell people the truth and not necessarily tell them what they want to hear just because you want a friendship. We need to talk about that. If is conditional. No one is compelled to listen. No one is compelled to follow. That is one of the beauties of understanding what your Bible has to say. God gave every person free will to follow him or to not follow him. You notice I didn't say know him. I said follow him. In America, as diluted and as messed up as it is, the vast majority of people still believe God exists. But their willingness to follow is greatly dependent upon many things. And people pick their churches based on the same. You know, you want to go get swallowed up in a big church and not have any accountability and not have to grow and do and whatever? You can. You have choice. God will let you go wherever you want to go. He may not like it, but ultimately, you can do what you want to do. But you're also then going to reap the rewards of your choices or the consequences. And I don't say that to be horrible. I always tell people this all the time. You know, I don't ask people here and I don't tell people to leave. It ain't about that for me. It's about, can you hear and are you following? Then we're all good. Because if you're hearing and following, then I believe God's going to take you where you need to be. And if it isn't here, that's okay with me too. I mean, I tell people all the time, I didn't ask you to come, and I'm not going to beg you to come back. I mean, that's the ultimate form of free will. It's not my job to try to make you do anything. It's my job to point. It's my job to provide understanding. It's my job to educate, but along the way, each one of us stands alone before the Lord to do our own accountability. So then we stand according to our choices. Does that make sense to anyone here? That's why the if is so important. I mean, we do the same thing with communion. You know, there's churches that'll tell you, well, you can't take communion until you've been with us for 6 months. Or you can't take communion because, you know, I know where you were Friday night. So you have a man or a woman at the front of the church telling you if or not you can take communion. It's not their job. 1 Corinthians says, examine yourself. It doesn't say hire a guy or a lady up front to do this for you. We are required to self-examine. Just like we are required to follow. And we can either do it well and get it right, or we can mess around with it. That word harden, it's interesting to me. It only appears like 10 or 12 times in the New Testament total. And it's in chapter 3 and chapter 4 like 7 times. I mean, this idea of hardening is being hammered home by the writer. He's comparing it a lot in 3 to what was going on in the wilderness, but he shifts it to the general population in 4. Today, if you hear my voice, harden not. I didn't even do the Greek on it. I know Charlie's going to be depressed. This word hardening, it's pretty self-explanatory. It is a choice. It's a choice. You can either follow or you don't. And if you don't, there's going to be separation. That hardening produces separation. I mean, I was going to even get really graphic and, you know, do a food illustration, and I thought, no, I better not, because you'll get lost in that. You leave a piece of bread on the shelf too long. You don't protect it. You don't take care of it. You don't do it. Yeah, anyway. This hardening is this, it's a result of negligence. You know, God is trying to give direction and urging, and we decide, maybe. Later, next week. And it's dangerous, church. It's dangerous because of timing. It's dangerous because of timing. You know, I've said this and said this for years. You know, if God's plan for you is if you're going to be the next Paul, or you're going to be the next James, or you're going to be the next Peter, what do you have to do to get there? And are you doing it? Because, you know, you're just going to wake up tomorrow and you're Paul. You wake up tomorrow, you're going to be Peter. I mean, at some point, the process requires time. And with this on again, off again, up again, down again, this in and out, this inability to stay focused for more than 30 minutes, every season requires a different move because of missed timing. The scripture says, and you know this, we say this stuff all the time. Daniel, come on, chapter 7, is it? Chapter 7, verse 25. What's his job? What does Daniel, chapter 7, verse 25, say Satan's job is? He's going to delay your times and seasons. God has a plan. He's trying to work you forward towards it. And we're hot for 30 minutes or 5 minutes or 5 years. And we're making progress. We're going through. We're developing. And things are better. And all of a sudden, squirrel. We get distracted. We turn left. We start chasing after whatever it is. And it's not all horrible. I get it. Sometimes it's family crisis. Sometimes it's medical stuff. Sometimes it's whatever. Satan doesn't have to be unique. He doesn't have to put you in a coma. I mean, he literally can just dangle the thing in front of you that separates you from your direction until there's enough separation, it's hard to get back. And a day turns into a month, and a month turns into a year. And the seasons are coming and going. We're missing the development cycle. We're missing getting through the deliverance and the strongholds and the hurts and the wounds. We're missing going through the surrender process where, you know, God is not just, you know, a figurehead who's up in the sky and what's the phrase? I hate it when my brain quits right in the middle. Where God is not involved in your life. There's actually a belief system that God is not involved in your life. He's just up there looking down on us. What? Agnostic. You believe he exists, but you don't think he's working every day. And then at some point in time, you have this realization that, well, maybe, you know, you get this urge, this nudging, but you've just lost 5 years, 3 years. Whatever it is you were supposed to do didn't get done. Whatever development cycle should have been in front of you, it's still in front of you. People in this generation don't see this as a working reality. And yet when the scripture says train up the gifts that are given to you, when do you think you're going to train them? Who's going to train them in you? How do you get them trained? How many years does it take to get them trained? We just think, well, I just need to know Jesus and I'm going to heaven. What do you think he wants you to do while you're here? What is it that we're supposed to accomplish to help his purpose move forward? Not just knowing him, but receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit as the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers did, and transferring it to people around us, because we are supposed to be made in his image. We are supposed to be made, doing greater works than these. Instead, we sit behind whatever knowledge we might have and we think it's enough. And the times and seasons are ticking. Tick, tick, tick. The hardening is real. And I didn't even get to the stuff that I, you know, everybody loves these two chapters because they always want to talk about the rest of the Lord. You read this fourth chapter, enter into my rest. The rest is made available after, and God gave the rest, not to those who died in the wilderness, but to those who are here today. The rest, the rest, the rest. It's all through this passage. I haven't even talked about that yet. You got to do all the stuff I'm talking about to find the rest. They didn't get it because of unbelief. The people that died in the wilderness, the people that know God but never figure out what they're supposed to do, those who know God but don't want to follow, they want to hold on to their whatever they're holding on to. And I mean, I'm sorry, but this is one of the things, and I'm going to say this about Kenya. This is one of the biggest things I struggle with, because when you talk about knowing God versus following his will, the Bible is very clear about sexual immorality. It's very clear about idolatry. It's very clear about witchcraft. And yet they are preeminently involved in every believer's life in Kenya, one way or another, because it's a polygamous society, so a man can have 3, 4, 5 wives. Young men are growing up thinking sex is something I can have anywhere all the time. Young girls are growing up going, oh, if I, you know, we're poor and we ain't got money, but I can trade my body and get money so I can get my hair done. There's so much sexual impropriety going on, and yet the scripture is blatantly clear. Somebody's not following. Yet 80% of Kenyans would tell you they're saved. I wonder how that's going to work out. Because somebody isn't following. We keep thinking that, you know, my stuff is my stuff and I don't have to, and eventually, and I'll get around today. Today. It's so simple when you see it like this, but for some reason, we just don't put it together. We talk about people's strongholds. We talk about people holding on to the past. We talk about, and we go on and on and on and talk about it, but we never figure out how to get there. How do you get free from it? How do you get out from underneath it? How do you quit letting it suffocate you? How do you quit letting it steal your joy? How do you quit letting it control the way you think about your neighbor and your friends? People will hold on to unforgiveness until their dying breath, and yet the scripture says, judge me the way I forgive others. Somebody's not following. Many are called, but today, harden not your hearts. Today. Church, we have to get our head around this idea. We got to quit playing patty cake with whatever we're holding on to, our past, our hurts, our traumas, our wounds, our lack of understanding, our idea versus God, our inability to hear God. All day I can do this. Our number one job in this world is to refine the voice, refine the voice, refine the voice, because that's the voice that will eventually judge you. That's the voice that is going to empower you. That's the voice that's going to lead you to greater works. That's the voice that's going to do things in your life that you've never seen before. And yet we struggle, and many hold on to the if. I don't care how many scriptures you memorize. I hope you memorize 1,000, 100,000. I don't care. But if you can't hear his voice, it don't matter a bit what you know. Because he's going to be telling you, leading you, prompting you, nudging you, whatever, and you're just going to keep hanging on. You're going to keep doing what you always done. You're going to keep expecting something different. That's the definition of insanity, remember? Do the same thing the same way all the time and expect something else. If you want real freedom, you can't keep doing what you've done. You got to do something new. If you want real empowerment, you can't do what you've always done because you don't have it yet. If you want real peace that surpasses understanding, you got to do something new. You got to do something else. Because if you could get there, you'd be there. These are all cliches, and I know it. But I'm trying to help you understand that this verse is a motivator if you let it. It starts with the hearing. There's a warning about not hardening our hearts. It's a pathway by which we can fully be obedient to the commands of Christ and not be selective. Where we can understand the revelation and get to a place where we're being not just transformed, but we're useful for the kingdom. There's things that he's going to have you do, whether it's prophesy or healings and miracles or administrate or service or hospitality. There is a process he's trying to develop in you so that you can find your calling and purpose. The older I get, the more I believe that today is a resounding voice in my ears. And it's necessary for the church. Today, make a determination to figure out how God speaks to you. Make a determination to focus on it and to listen, whether it's a word in your ear, whether it's a vision you have, whether it's an audible voice you hear. Refine, 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 refine. Practice time with it. Practice in your prayer time. Stop at various points while you're praying and just listen. Give God a chance to speak back. When you're in service, listen so that when the prophet of the house or the worship leader tells you you need to get in a group, you need to, you know, go speak a word, you can pause a minute, listen for that unction, and then move out accordingly as you're practicing the work that he wants you to do here so that when you're out there, you can do it too. We do everything in the house for practice. Worship night's coming up. That's a practice night. Everybody gets to come together. You get to either be prayed for or you get to impart into someone. It's practice. We want to hear and we want to release and develop. Stop hardening. Spend some time with this. Look back at your life and go, Lord, show me in the last 3 months where you've spoken and I have not followed. Where you've hinted that I need a change, but I'm not listening. Where you're asking me to do something that I don't want to do. And we might have 15 reasons for it. That ain't the point. The point is to hear first, and then we'll make a determination on what you've done with it. Now, I have to be a little careful here because I know when I was preaching this years ago, our old friend Roy came up to me one Sunday. He'd only been in church a few weeks. We were early in this development cycle, way back in the early 2000s. And he was all busted up, as only Roy could be. And he said, I didn't even start coming to church until I was in my 60s. He said, now I'm feeling guilty. I'm going, don't feel guilty. I mean, you've got from now until whenever. You've got time. You have the ability. God can do wonderful things. And whatever it is you missed, we'll deal with that. Whatever it is you didn't get, we'll help you get it. Because we know how to do this. Within a year or so, he went to Kenya with us. One of the funniest things you'll ever see in your life is a 6'3" man with a cowboy hat praying with Kenyans in a dark room because there's only one bulb in a room this big. One bulb. And he's praying with people on a foreign continent at 60-some years old. You can find your calling. And I always tell people, whatever's in the past, you don't have to let that define you. But you also have to let it go so you don't repeat it. Because it's easy to look back in 5 years and see the same thing in the last 5 years that was in the 5 years before that. With ultimately no shift, no change, no development, no production. Calling and purpose. Satan's job is to keep you from finding it. Or to slow it down so that when you stand before the Lord and he starts playing your life back and you've got to give answers for things, you know, that's a hard thing. And I know it's a hard thing. But I tell you this because I want you to hear it so that you have the maximum amount of time to change the trajectory of what you're working with and what you're working for. So that at some point when you and the Lord are having this conversation, you're going to get from, you know, the bad stuff to the good stuff. You're going to get to the not just the pre-Christ stuff, but you're going to get to the pre-obedience stuff. You'll get through all the unbelief stuff. You'll get through all of the I don't want to stuff. You're going to get through all of the I don't think I should have to stuff. And at some point, he's going to go, from here forward, this looks really good. From this moment, whatever this moment is for you, when you finally say, okay, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. And I know your will because I hear your voice. And when I hear your voice, now I can obey it. And I can find your calling, purpose, timing, everything that you have for me from this day forward. Today. Shall we stand?
Going to have Pastor Tracy just put on a song. This is what we're going to do. Okay. First thing, I just got finished telling you this. So procrastination, hearing God, following. Those are the three things. Those are the three things. Procrastination, hearing God, following. Those are the three things. And he mentioned Roy, so I'm just going to tell you this quick story. Africa, you guys, some of you, many of you have probably heard this story. But we're in this prayer line with the one bulb in the ceiling. It's dark. It's like 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. It's dark. Can't hardly see. We've all got lines of people. 50, 60 people in our lines, each of us. We can't go home, go back to the hotel until they're prayed through. Roy keeps coming over to me. I can't pray for that man. You see that man in my line right there in front of me? I can't pray for him. Get over there, Roy. Go pray for him. I got my own line. Three times Roy came over to me. Three times. He went over, tried to pray for this man, came back to me, said, I can't do it. Three times. Finally, I said, Roy, get over there. What is your deal? Like, I think he has an STD. I don't care what he has. You go over, you hear what God has to say, and then you just follow what God tells you to do. That's all you have to do. Quit putting it off because you're not getting through your line. Quit procrastinating. Best story ever. You want to put the three of them together? Because the next year we went to Kenya, Roy wasn't able to go with us, but the very next year, that same man, you couldn't miss him. The man come up to me and he says, is Roy here? Nope. Well, I got to talk to him. I got to tell him what happened when he prayed for me. What happened? I went home that night. I was healed, instantly healed. Instantly healed. When we follow, hear and follow. This is how we're going to do this. Paul, are you up to it? Praying with some people? Just because that guy is not a procrastinator. He isn't. He's a get her done kind of guy. So if you would go in the back corner there. Apostle, I'd like you up here in the front corner for hearing. And Diane, wait, is Diane here? She downstairs. Nope, that's okay. Nope, that's okay. Just give me a minute. You've got generational stuff for your mom. Good stuff, so you can take your place. Following. So Paul is going to be in the back. He's procrastination. Apostle's up here hearing. Andrea's up here with following. You need to do a self-assessment. Pastor Tracy's going to put some music on. They're going to pray as a group. So don't delay. Find your group. You might have a couple issues. You might. I'm just saying. If you do, find the one that's earliest in the process. So if you have problems with hearing and following, go to hearing. We have to start. Does that make sense? Okay. So we're going to do this as a group. So if you struggle with procrastination on things, go back to Paul's group. If you have problems hearing, come to Apostles group. Following Andrea's group, we're going to just pray. They're going to pray over the group as a whole, and when your group is done, go have a blessed week. See what God has for you. Pastor Tracy, if you would just put some music on. That's just how we're going to close today. Father, we thank you for being in the house. We thank you. Move, find your circle or your spot. Father, we just thank you. We are expecting, Father, as you challenge us, as you push us, Father, that we're going to continue to improve the areas that we struggle with. These aren't things that we're embarrassed over, Father. They're just things we need to know, we need to strengthen up. So we just are praising you for this. Just Amen. Following? Anybody problems with following? Procrastination? Come on.